Before Dave comes up, I just thought I need to rebut what Pete said. No, I didn't want to say that at all. Firstly, I just want to say we did have this outstanding conference yesterday. And in a minute, where Alama Day, you just wanted to come and share something really briefly as a testimony from yesterday. But I also just wanted to stand up and really honor Dave for putting the whole thing together, because...
Take it like a man. Take the love.
But Dave had a real vision for putting on a conference, and it was the first one that we've done, and it was just good to see people from lots of different areas gathering it in. But I thought you did an outstanding job, Dave, and the Spirit of God was really here. And the people, Tom and Abby from Catch the Fire Church down in Wembley, were just outstanding. They really served us really well. But Dave, you did an outstanding job. It was really good. There'll be lasting legacy, and we're looking to see the next time we do it. Alameda, just come and share before Dave speaks briefly.
Hello. I don't know. Briefly? Okay.
Yeah,
the conference was awesome. You know how you go to places and they say the conference was awesome, and then you say, what happened? And they're like, it was awesome. But Friday night was great. The worship throughout was amazing, really amazing, you know. We cried, we laughed, we rolled on the floor, it was really great, you know. There was no pressure, no children running about, we love the children, no taking offering. We also found out on Friday night that God's first name was Andy. But, you know, Duncan will tell you more about that. It was really glory to glory. What I got from it was that it's great to come in here and get, you know, gloried up. But really, we were taught how we would take that glory out and live practically. You know, in the morning, Abby, you know, taught us about orphan nature and, you know, took us into being sons of God. And when I got home yesterday, there were one or two things that were sort of like orphan nature. And as soon as it came up, I thought, nah, this is orphan nature. I'm now a son, you know. And then Tom, you know, really showed us practically the fact that once you are born again, you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in absolutely everything you do. Whether you're praying for the sick, whether you're praying for the cashier at Morrison's, whatever it is you're doing, you know, it was so practical, it was amazing. And then there was a time of ministry, you know, when Dave and Christine came and prophesied, and it wasn't prophecy of there's somebody here who has long hair. It was very, very specific. And I just want to, I mean, I know that it's not going to be a conference that in 3 weeks' time, I think I'll still be able to tell you for 1 hour what happened, which is amazing. Yeah. Praise God.
Well done. Father, we just want to thank you for all that you're doing in our midst. We pray, O Lord, for things that we have understood and fresh revelation that we have taken of you. Lord, we pray that it would be burned deeply into our hearts. We pray for that, the sealing work of your Holy Spirit, that we would be changed and different people, that we would love you incredibly. And that actually we would take something of your love to an unbelieving world. And we do pray for every circumstance that we find ourselves. And we say, Lord, come and fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. For your glory and for your name, we say, amen. Dave.
Wow. It's been a lot of honor for me recently. And that's great, and I'll take it. But I really want to just thank the people that are behind the scenes. I think so often it's like myself or Duncan or Tom and Abby or the worship team will take all the honor because we're the ones who are publicly visible. But I just want to say that the people behind the scenes are Cam and Jake, who did sort of PA, and Jonathan and Lamade, who did laptop, and Jackie, Noetta, and Christina, and Michelle Limerick. They are behind the scenes just making the whole thing work well. And this is body ministry, because if they don't do their job well, actually it's really hard for us to do our job well. So I really just want to publicly recognize them and just thank them for making it really easy for me. And then I think I've got to that place now where I've just been over at Islington, and then I was at the Catalyst Festival, and now I've just done something here. So my spirit is really willing to give you my best, but my body has had it. But I think what I want to do is, rather than go back into our Luke series, I just want to take some time out to just share what I feel the Father is speaking to us, particularly as a community and as a church, and briefly just shared some of this stuff with Duncan last night, and we just sort of read it together and had a bit of a chat about via text message, just to clarify and have the permission to share, really. But you know, sometimes you can see things in the physical that are representative of what is happening in the spiritual, right? And it says in the scriptures that the sons of Issachar understood anew the times, and they gave Israel direction. Now, I don't know how long you've been in our church, but I'm very aware that when we were over at the cinema, and it wasn't that what we were doing there wasn't fruitful, didn't have purpose, but there wasn't many pregnancies in the church, physical pregnancies in the church at that time. But currently, there is at least 5 women pregnant in the church or have given birth. Now, it doesn't take a good prophet to recognize that God is talking that into us with physical things, something is being birthed spiritually. And I would like to suggest that there's new birth in the church, not just physical new birth, but spiritual new birth. And I think we're beginning to see that. You know, some people have already physically given birth, so we're seeing some of the fruits of that spiritually already. There are some new cultures, some new understandings of God coming through, some fresh revelation, but there is more, because there is more physical pregnancies in the room, which means that God has got so much more, and I know there's more than that. But I just wanted to help us to just understand how God works. God often will use natural things going on in your life to give you a spiritual reality. So that's the first thing that I wanted to say. And then I just wanted to get into a Bible passage before I went off into what I feel God's spoken to me, just to ground something. So in your Bibles, let's get into Joshua 1. And if you've been in church for a while, you will know that Joshua 1 is a classic passage for a season change, for taking new ground. You know, it's always the passage that comes out on a Vision Sunday or something like that, because it's got those classic verses in it. But I want to highlight just a few key words in the passage. So we're going to read from Joshua 1, verse 1, down to 11. So this is what it says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. And now you and all these people get ready to cross over the Jordan. They're crossing over out of Sinai into Jordan, into the promised land. And I'm about to give you a gift to the Israelites and give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised to Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, to the great river of the Euphrates, and to the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea, and into the west. No one will be able to stand against you all of the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law of my servant Moses. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. You see, we're talking about being prosperous and successful. How do we do it? By keeping ourselves meditated on what God is saying to us in the book. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? You know, if you want breakthrough, you're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to be courageous. It's not an option for breakthrough. You're going to have to take some flack, and you're going to have to take some risk. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God is already preempting disappointment. He's already preempting that some things aren't going to go according to plan. But don't be afraid when you have to go into battles or hard situations. Don't be discouraged when it doesn't all go your way. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp, tell the people, get your provisions ready. From 3 days from now, we're going to cross over and take possession. Now, if you've got your Bibles and you've got a pen on you, just highlight the word possession of the land the Lord God is giving you. And what I really want to say is, I feel, and I've been in this church almost from the beginning, that we have done 10 to 12 years of the Lord giving us supernatural provision. Now, if you know your Bible as well, you'll know the children of Israel, as they traveled through Egypt, they were supernaturally provided for, right? They had supernatural manna. They had clothes that didn't wear out. They had a cloud in the day that gave them a shadow so they're protected from the hot sun. And then they had fire at night so they could see. They had constant supernatural provision, but they had no possession. The food that they had was only for that day. If it was kept for a day longer, it went moldy. They didn't make clothes or do all these things because their clothes didn't run out. They were supernaturally looked after. And what happens in this crossover as they go from being supernaturally provided for to going into a season where all that was provided for them supernaturally, they now have to cultivate and possess themselves. They have to grow their own food, make their own clothes, win their own cities, take their own territory. There's a shift from provision to possession. And I find it interesting in the scriptures in the New Testament where Jesus says, I will give you authority, heal the sick. The implication is Jesus has now given possession of healing authority to his disciples. So they possess healing, so therefore heal the sick. They possess the ability to cleanse the leper, therefore cleanse the leper. They even possess the ability to raise the dead, therefore raise the dead. They've gone from provision to possession. And what does Jesus say? Freely you have received possession. Freely you have possessed something, now give it away. You cannot give away what you actually don't have. You know, it's going to be really hard for me to give this book to someone unless it's in my hand and I own it. And this is what I feel the Father is saying to our church. Our next 10 years as a church is going to be defined by this transition from supernatural provision to supernatural possession. And the thing I like about the difference there is when you've got provision, it's sort of, it comes, it goes, it comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. We've seen breakthrough in certain areas in church life. That's amazing. And we want to thank God for that. We want to thank God for his fruitfulness. But when you possess something, it's constant. You know, so we should expect constant salvation. We've seen the provision of salvation. We've seen some people saved. The Lord is going to take us to where we see constant salvation. That's good. We've seen some healing, provision of healing. It's going to get constant. We've seen some accurate words. Christina is incredible. She stands up, and I've seen her twice now give people their bank account details. You know, it's provision of someone getting revelation of the heart of God to call forth someone to say, no, he really does know the hairs on your head and your bank account details, and he's going to minister to you. He wants to call you out of a crowd and love on you. But there are other things, acts of kindness. I know so many people in our church are just secretly doing incredible acts of kindness. And that's amazing as well. It says in Acts 10, 38, that Jesus did supernatural things and he did good things, good natural things. All of them are manifestations of kingdom culture. And the Father is taking us through this transition moment right now from provision to possession. It's exciting. I'm excited to see what's going to happen in our community over the next 10 years. And I've just been asking the Lord to allow me to dream on this. And, you know, when I first joined this church, I remember having this conversation with Duncan. We were in Fratelli's, and that's how Duncan used to do things back in the day. And we had this chat, and I just remember saying to Duncan, do you believe in the book of Acts? And he said, yes. And I said, do you believe in the power of God invading earth now? And he said, yes. And I said, I'm in. That's it. Because in my heart, there was a dream to be part of a church that saw the manifestations of the kingdom as I read in the book of Acts. And I understand that it's not just all about supernatural this and supernatural that, but this is on my heart. This is what's in my heart. This is what I bring to the body. And I'm well aware that you guys bring different things, but this is my heart. It's what I wake up in the morning about. It's what I dream about. It's what I think about. It's what I preach about. It's me. And so I had this dream, and Duncan said, yeah, I get it. And it was like, you know, sometimes when you're on a boat, and who's been on a ferry from Dover to Calais? Okay, so when you get on at Dover, on a good day, you can see Calais, can't you? You can see it in the distance. And I would suggest that when I joined this church and we had this conversation with Duncan, it was like I could see the potential and this horizon point of the provision of supernatural power invading our community in the horizon. And I personally have always tried to have my course going towards my horizon point. And as I've done that, because God has put me alongside Duncan, I've helped take the church there. And it's not just me that moves in these gifts in our church. We have it across the church. And that's my job, to equip the church for these gifts. And so we've transitioned towards this horizon point. And, you know, Duncan might have a different horizon point, but this has been mine. And I've been going there and going there and going there. And recently, probably around January, February time, I began to feel the Lord say, look up, Dave, you're too close to your horizon point. What was your horizon point is now your foreground. And what I would say by that is I'm well aware that we have not attained the physical manifestation of heaven's culture in every area of our life in our community. I'm well aware that we have not attained that promise. But what I feel the Father is saying to us as a church is that you're getting so close to this horizon point in seeing the supernatural breaking out regularly that you need a new horizon point to keep your course straight and true. Because if you're on a boat and you're only focusing on the thing in front of you, you can quite easily get off course because you need to aim long distance. You know, a submarine's radar is not focused on what's 10 meters in front of it. A boat's captain, you know, that's why you have a crow's nest on a sailing boat. It's looking ahead, not looking in front. And the job of the prophet is to look ahead. The job of the apostle and the church leader is to work out how do we navigate the immediate with this as a horizon point. And that's the tension that you have to work out there. And that's why we do it in unity. And that's why we have a body, not one person leading the church. So what is in our foreground is the provision of the kingdom. What we're called to, what a horizon point is a possession. A possession of kingdom culture. A possession of it collectively and individually. I felt the Father say that both the generation that lived for that horizon point and the season is now passing away. Of believing for the promises of the kingdom to come. And over the next 10 years, we're going to see an ever-increasing possession of kingdom and the promises given to this church. There are many promises given to this church. And I'd like to suggest that what we consider now as supernatural will become normal and natural. What is considered supernatural now is going to be normal and natural for everybody. Whatever you see me or others doing in the church that you hear about, you think, don't think that that's for the one and only or the two or three. It's for everyone. And there's going to become a time when everyone in this church is doing that type of stuff because we're to cross-pollinate gifts. In Ephesians 4, it talks about apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. They all work together for the unity of the body of Christ, for the saints. Each saint, which is all of us, should have all of those gifts. Everyone should be apostolic. Everyone should be prophetic. Everyone should be evangelistic. Everyone should be able to teach. Everyone should be able to pastor. We should all have grace, but it comes from those that carry the gift. So I can only give you prophetic grace. What is considered extraordinary will become ordinary over these next 10 years. What happens for the one or two will be happening for the many. And I feel the Father wanted to bring some clarity to that. There's a few of us in our church that for whatever reason, over the last year, our influence and our favor has gone through the roof. So personally, my influence and favor within the church world, which is my primary calling, has gone up significantly. I know that there's others, and I don't really want to call them out, but there are others that I'm very aware of in our church where their influence and favor has gone through the roof. What's happening for the few is about to happen for the many. There are people here in our church that are incredibly successful and are getting promotions all over the place. What's happening for the few is happening for the many. There are people here that are enjoying natural and supernatural provision and abundance. What's happening for the few is happening for the many. And every time a testimony comes forth, it's permission for you to say, and do it for me. In a revelation, it says, the spirit of prophecy is testimony of Jesus. When we prophesy or we share testimony about something, we're saying, okay, God, do it again. There's permission for it to happen again. Healing and deliverance. I haven't seen deliverance in the UK for a long time. I've seen it in other countries, but I haven't seen it in the UK for a long time. And then Jill and Duncan and myself, we were at this Catalyst Festival. Someone was getting prayed for. They just threw up on the floor. Clear sign of demonic deliverance. It's going to start happening. There's going to be some unusual stuff happening in our church, but thank God we've got pastors and we've got leaders, and they're going to help us navigate it. Just like when I came up and sang in tongues, it's unusual. But Pete came up and just gave us a bit of background. Let us all enjoy it. there was going to be some stuff. As a few times we've been in church service and people have just hit the floor. And you think, oh, did they have a heart attack? Are they having a stroke? No, the Holy Spirit hit them. And if you plug yourself into electricity, you're not going to remain standing. When you plug yourself into God, what do you think's going to happen? But we need pastors and teachers. I have this understanding of Ephesians 4 ministry, and it goes like this. The prophets on the crow's nest, the apostles on the steering wheel, you know, guiding the ship. The evangelist is like the scout. He's on the ship, and every time it boards, it goes onto land and says, hey, come on this adventure, and it draws people in. And then the pastor is the cook. He looks after the crew. He feeds them, clothes them, takes care of them. He looks after the people. And what's the teacher? Boat maintenance. Because if that boat gets a hole in it, the whole thing sinks. And we need teachers of theological truth, because if I start teaching a doctrine that I consider prophetic that's outside of the scaffolding of Scripture, I'm building something wonky. So this is how the gifts work together. Our next 10 years will be defined by possession, not provision. Over the next 10 years, I see a church that will be actively engaged with the council, providing vital community services that will add to public service. I see a community social action hub here that will be so successful, it will be franchised across our nation. I see incredible financial investment into our community, into our facilities, and into this social enterprise hub. I see a church in the borough moving from estrangement to engagement with other services in the borough, helping our borough to flourish and fly. I see the nations being opened up to us. I see a church who makes disciples in the marketplace and in the community, not just in the church. I've been asking God, why do I have no capacity to disciple people in the church? I disciple a few people in our church, but not many. And I felt God say, because you disciple 20 people in your workplace. And then I was thinking about it, and then I heard this week a man say the same thing. A friend of ours called Stavros, who we've met recently. You know, Jesus' disciples were not saved when he started discipling them. Yeah. Your primary place of discipleship is non-believers. Yeah. Non-believers. Yes, we're called to disciple one another, to grow together. But your primary place, if Jesus is our model of the faith, is to disciple non-believers. It says of Joseph that he fathered Pharaoh. Pharaoh was not a believer, but Joseph discipled him. We're going to be fathering Pharaohs like Joseph. I see a music school, worship academy coming forth in our church, and it's going to pioneer a creative expression of God's heart. And I've been dreaming of that one for a long time. And the way I saw it is I just saw guitars falling from heaven. And I don't even play the guitar. But I just sense that God is going to do something amazing. I see oil and anointing. And we understand that oil represents the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. So when the oil was poured upon Aaron, his beard was so soaked, he was drenched. I see the oil of the Holy Spirit being continuously poured out upon our church. There's not going to be a dry moment in our church anymore. There's going to be constant oil from heaven. I see it being continuously poured out. I see stunning prophetic revelation that will blow people's minds and reveal that we really are the friends of God. You need to know that you have access to the Father's wisdom for your world. The prophetic is not just me up here or Christina. It's you in your workplace learning to un-Christianese your language and speak wisdom into a situation. Yeah. Divine wisdom that brings life and hope and comfort. Barnabas, in Acts, I think it's in chapter 4, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, it says that his real name was Joseph, but they called him Barnabas, the son of encouragement. And I find it interesting that Paul was not accepted by the believers, but Barnabas, the son of encouragement, got alongside him and encouraged him in God's calling on his life. And then you see Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 14 that the prophetic should be for encouragement, exhortation, and comfort. Who do you think Paul got encouragement, exhortation, and comfort from? Barnabas. So when Paul was writing that, I bet he was thinking about Barnabas's nature. And as he wrote that scripture, he was thinking of a person, the son of encouragement, the one who got alongside him. When others didn't believe that he was saved, it was Barnabas that got alongside Paul and said, no, I see God's hand on you. There's a lot of stuff we need to work out. You're super religious and Pharisaical, but I'm going to stand by you and I'm going to help you and I'm going to walk with you. And it was Barnabas that went on Paul's first two missionary journeys. And when Paul disregarded Mark, it was Barnabas that stood close to Mark. And then Paul welcomed Mark back in. The prophetic is to get alongside the broken reed and say, no, there's still life in you. God will not break that reed, but he'll grow you. He's calling you an oak of righteousness. Stunning prophetic revelation in our workplaces to say to people, there's hope for you. There's grace for you. God's got something for you. And you might not use that language, but you can speak hope and life. We are the bride of Christ, and we are being made ready for his return. Heaven is playing its song over our church, the song of the bride. And it's saying, come. Come. Now, did you know that Beelzebub was one of the first people to be filled with the Holy Spirit? He's from the tribe of Judah. He built the first temple. Did you know that David was also from the tribe of Judah, and he reestablished a pattern of worship? He was an Old Testament prophet living out a New Testament reality, 24-hour worship. And we know that the third temple is not going to be built in Jerusalem as a physical place, but it's built by Christ. It's the body. They're all from the tribe of Judah. And what does Judah represent? A lion that roars. What does worship represent? A sound that crushes all that stands before it. There is such a unique power on worship that we're going to learn to embrace over these coming 10 years. And I feel that our worship, our passion, our celebration of all that God is we're going to become a lion's roar over our community that's going to win battles before us. You often see this in the Old Testament, that it was the musicians that were on the front line of the army. Now, if you're going to win a war, you don't send your violin player to the front. You just don't. You just don't do that. But when God is with you, you send your musicians to the front because they release the sound of heaven and God does what God does. And we stand back and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I have no idea. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is an incredible anointing coming upon our worship that's going to release the sound of heaven. We need to wrap this thing up. As a church, I feel there are sort of eight key areas of influence that we are beginning to see already, but God has got so much for us. It's those who represent a Daniel. They're involved in politics and government. God's on you. God's going to grow you. God's going to send you into powerful places. Even this morning, I was chatting with a member of our church who told me he's off to Brussels. I didn't know that until this morning, but I've got it right here. God's doing it. God's doing it in the mix. And what's for the few will soon be for the many. There's going to be Joseph raised up who work alongside business powers and government leaders to provide provision, protection and salvation. Slightly different from Daniel's. There's going to be those who are like Mary, you know, Mary the mother of Jesus. Think about this. Mary was pregnant with the Messiah. There are people in our church community who are pregnant with restoration ministries. The Messiah was a restoration ministry. There are people here that are pregnant with restoration ministries to see people come to their fullness. There are many Marys in our house. There are many Lydias in our house, men and women of extraordinary business acumen and financial acumen that God wants to say, go. If you're in business, be all that you can be. Not to tithe more, because you're called to business. You're called to business. Enjoy it. Go for it. There are those who are like Peter. Peter was given the city of Jerusalem by God to make it like the culture of heaven. That was his apostolic mandate. I feel there are people that are given cities and nations. That it's on you to see cities and nations transformed with the culture of heaven. There are Johns in the room. You know, John wrote the book of Revelation. There is stunning prophetic revelation coming upon increasing numbers of people in our church. That's not just for the church, it's for the world. There are Pauls. And I know Paul's an incredible apostle. But I would also say he is an incredible educator. Because even now, outside of the church, people talk about Paul's influence on society. He educated the world. This is what God is doing. He's raising up the Daniels, the Josephs, the Marys, the Lydias, the Peters, the Johns, the Pauls. And he's raising up the Beelzebubs, the creatives. Because God cannot help himself but do a new thing. Yeah, that's right. He cannot help himself. He cannot help himself. Let's stand. It's going to take a moment to pray into these different areas. And I'd like us to all stand together because we're a body together. But I'm going to call out the area. And then if that's your area, that's what you're, either you're in it already or you feel called to it, I'd just like you to raise your hand. And as a body, keep your eyes open and just turn around so you're sort of looking at each other and stretch your hands to the one who's nearest to you with their hand raised. So the first group of people that I'd really like to pray for is those that have a real heart to see political or governmental change. So if that's you, just raise your hand. Okay, so it's just over here. Keep it really, really high. We need to see who you are. Okay, and now church, just stretch out your hand and I'm just going to pray over them. Father, we want to pray over these men and women that have a heart to see politics and governments influenced by kingdom culture. And Father, we want to pray that their words would be sweetened with the blood of Jesus. That when they go, Lord, that they'd be, we know that they carry the presence of heaven upon them. They carry the grace of heaven upon them. And Lord, we recognize that they're in it for the long haul. Lord, there's that they will go there and they will speak and speak and speak, and their work might take time, but we pray and prophesy over the seeds that they deposit, that they will become fruitful in many nations and in many policies that will bring blessing to many nations and many governments. And Lord, we ask that you would help them to serve their masters well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you feel you're a bit like a Joseph and you're in a position where you work under someone that has the ability to create extraordinary wealth, employ loads of people. You know, Pharaoh employed lots of people, right? So if you sort of relate to a Joseph-type anointing and you really have a heart to see provision and protection and salvation come, raise your hands. One here, over here. Okay, keep your hands up really high. Okay, so church, just stretch out to the nearest person to you. Father, we want to prophesy and declare over those that carry this Joseph-type mandate. Father, we want to ask that they would serve their pharaohs well. Lord, that they would be in it for Pharaoh's success. And because you are with them, that God's kingdom would come through them. Lord, we thank you that through Joseph's ministry to Pharaoh, two nations were saved. And Lord, we pray for the salvation and protection and provision of many nations and business communities and employment for people's jobs. Lord, we pray for dignity, Lord. And we ask that these men and women would serve in such a way that they would father pharaohs and disciple pharaohs in their world. Thank you, Father. Bless them. Okay, the third group, the Marys, those that have a real heart for restoring people and restorative ministries. You know, we might understand that to be social action, or maybe teaching might slip in there. So if you have a real heart to see people restored to the fullness, raise your hand. Okay, a few more hands, nice and high. Okay, everyone that doesn't have their hands raised, stretch it out. Father, we want to thank you for these people that are carrying restorative ministries. Lord, I want to thank you that there's a sense of being pregnant, Lord, with what the Lord wants to do. And Father, we want to prophesy and declare over these coming 10 years that there will be an increase in restorative ministries. And, you know, whether that's in ones and twos or it's in groups or it's in charities, it makes no difference, God. It doesn't matter if it's to one or to many. Lord, your heart is the same. And therefore, we prophesy successful birthing of restorative ministries that bring life to individuals and communities in Jesus' name. Raise up the Marys that are able to take the shame that their ministry might sort of cause them as they go for this, because we know that Mary was rejected by her closest family and her relatives. And Lord, we ask as these people stand with others who probably have no dignity, Lord, that you would protect them and guide them and bless them and strengthen their hand in Jesus' name. Okay, if you are passionate about business and you want to be wealthy, don't be ashamed. Do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed. If you are passionate about business and you desire wealth, be brave and break off that stronghold right now and raise your hand. And we're going to pray and prophesy that you would earn bucket loads of money and that you would do what you're called to do. You know, do not be ashamed. Father, we want to prophesy over business, Lord, and we want to reclaim that business belongs to the Lord, and it is not dirty, and it is not ungodly, Lord, but we want to prophesy and declare success over men and women that are passionate about business. Lord, we want to thank you for Lydia, an example of a businesswoman in the world, in the church world. And Lord, we thank you for her life. We thank you for her finance. And Lord, we thank you for her influence. And Lord, we want to prophesy over these men and women success, entrepreneurism, if that's even a word. Lord, we want to prophesy that they would have six-figure salaries and seven-figure salaries. Lord, we want to prophesy that they would understand the markets. Lord, that you would give them divine strategy for divine wealth, that they would give people honor and dignity for employment. Lord, that they would help others come into their destiny. Lord, we recognize that, Lord, that business has the ability to give honor. Lord, we thank you for the Cadbury's guy that built a whole town and blessed a whole community. And Lord, we take that as an example of what business should be like. Lord, that it should be like. And Lord, we say, bless these men and women in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Okay, if you've got a heart for cities or nations, and you want to see kingdom culture in cities and nations, raise up your hand. We want to really pray for you. Apostolic mandate upon your life. Father, I want to thank you for people that have got cities and nations on their heart. Lord, I want to thank you for the apostolic mandate upon them to see cities and nations transformed. Lord, we thank you that the word apostle means sent, and you are sent to bring heaven's culture on the earth. Heaven's culture into cities to see radical transformation, to understand the values of the kingdom of heaven and to release them in whatever sphere of influence that is, whether it's through the church or whether it's through other ministries. Lord, it makes no difference. But Lord, we thank you for the apostolic mandate on your life, and we speak blessing and promise and success over you that nations would become fruitful and blessed and filled with peace. Lord, you want to prophesy peace into the nations of the earth and peace into the nations. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for that. Thank you. Okay, for those of you that feel that you're gifted in the prophetic and you want wisdom, if you want wisdom for a circumstance, you know, so that would probably be everyone, but I really want to pray that the prophetic is an entire movement across our church, that we have wisdom for everything, divine wisdom. So, but if you particularly feel that's for you, raise your hand. I want to pray that you'd have incredible wisdom, wisdom of another world, wisdom of heaven. But Father, I want to thank you for John. Lord, I want to thank you that he had wisdom of another age. Lord, I want to thank you for men and women here. Lord, I want to thank you that you're raising up a prophetic culture in our church. And I want to thank you that you are raising up prophets in our church, Lord, that are not just prophets to the church, but they're prophets to business, prophets to society. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we recognize that the prophetic is for everyone, a culture of encouragement, comfort, and exhortation. And Lord, I want to prophesy over our community as my grace gift. Lord, stunning wisdom upon you, stunning wisdom, that you would dream the dreams of heaven, that you would hear the Father's voice, that you would know his tenderness, that you would understand his heart, and that you would begin to create the Father's destiny and the Father's promises on the earth in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so for you, the next group is educators. That doesn't mean you're a teacher. That's anyone involved with educating anybody about anything. Okay? So the educators. Educators, raise your hand. Let's pray for the educators. Father, I want to thank you for educators. Lord, I want to thank you for the legacy of a man like Paul. Lord, that he is still infecting society. And Lord, I want to prophesy and declare over the educators that whatever field of influence it's in, that they would write resources that would go forth from here, that they would have wisdom and knowledge and the ability to teach and to train up and to release others into all that they're called to. Lord, we thank you for the honor of being able to educate others, whether it's in school or elsewhere, and we speak blessing over them in Jesus' name. And finally, we want to pray for anyone involved in the creative. Arts, dancing, drama, whatever it is, anything that's... flag waving, it gets in there, you know, bring it, music, you know, what, filmmaking, like God is creative, let's embrace it, it's so beyond music. Father, we want to pray for the creatives in our church. Lord, we pray for release of creative, whether it's creative writing or filmmaking or drama or sewing or making clothes, Lord, or jewelry cutting or whatever, Lord. The creative is so massive, Lord, it's even hard to put in a box. And that's the idea. The creative lives outside of the box. And Lord, we ask for the manifestation of the creative nature of God to be ever present in our community, in our church. Lord, we ask, take us outside of the box, Lord, with the creative. Help us to celebrate people's original design. Lord, help us to celebrate people's what God has given them. Lord, I thank you for this guy, Lord Beelzebub, and I thank you that you gifted him extraordinarily to build something of great beauty. And Lord, I thank you that the creative releases the beauty of heaven upon the earth, the tapestry of God. I thank you that there's never a sunset the same, never a dawn the same, Lord, because God, you never do the same thing twice. And Lord, we want to prophesy creativity into our community in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen. Amen.